Father, we thank you today for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our teacher, and we want to learn from your word today so that we can pattern our life after your word and so that we can be blessed by you, Father, so we can do what we hear today, because Jesus, you said it's the one that hears and does that gets the blessing of the Father. So that's our heart today, Father, to hear and to do what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're studying about the different tribes of Israel and the blessing, the prophetic blessing that was spoken over them. We know that God set boundaries. We've also been talking about boundaries. God says, do not remove the ancient landmarks, the boundaries, that God will plead the cause of those that you do that against. We know that also that's just not in the natural, that's also spiritually, that with all of these tribes that we're studying, as well as us as believers, that God has set spiritual boundaries and parameters in our life. He has assigned us certain things to do. That's why we're on the earth. That's why we're on the earth, like it was said of David, that he, by the counsel of God, he fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. That's what we want to do. So we've studied a few of these. We took Simeon, and we took... we didn't take Simeon, I apologize. We took Levi, and we took Judah, and we had to skip Reuben, but we're going to get Reuben today, and we're going to get Simeon later too. But today we're going to do Reuben, study Reuben, Issachar, and Dan. Amen. So we're going to start with Reuben. Yes. Miss Carolyn Kelly is bringing us a study on Reuben.
The study of Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn of Leah and Jacob. And he, according to the word, which is Genesis 49, verse 3, said, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Verse 4, unstable as water, you shall not excel because you went up to your father's bed, then defiled you it. And what he was saying was, Reuben defiled Jacob's bed by sleeping with his concubine Bilhah. And Reuben, according to what I picked up on, was Reuben is characterized as fickle, unstable as water, and condemned to no longer have the excellency due to Reuben's crime of having sexual relationship with his father's wife, Bilhah. Reuben had four sons, and they were divided in the land for that tribe, and the clan was the Hanchite, Hanochites, the Paulite, Palluites, the Hezronite, Hezronites, and the Carmonite, Carmites. These are, according to the Bible, the descendants of Reuben. And they were to occupy the land that was the territory near Gad in the north, and this description is in Numbers 32 and 34. And then they also had the land that was near some of the land, and then they also had land that was captured by the Moabites. And Reuben, as when he was younger, had what they called the mandrake. And the mandrake was a plant that was supposed to be a fertility type drug. and Rachel saw it and she requested it. And she told Leah, she said, I'll let you sleep with Jacob if you give me some of this mandrake, your son's mandrake. And that's what she did. She gave him, gave her the mandrake, and she told Jacob that she had hired him out that night to sleep with him. The mandrake is like a plant, and it looks like the private area of a female.
Oh, we have a picture of it here.
That represents,
yeah.
That's it. That's the mandrake.
And it's here on our banner.
Yeah.
Jane. So that's why he has
it. Yeah. So they believe in, I guess, fertility drugs instead of God. Well, Rachel did, because Leah was not loved like Rachel was to Jacob, and she and God fertilized her seed more so than he did Rachel. And that is the end of my report.
So what can we learn about this spiritually, just everybody, just, you know, something you really see about this spiritually? Because look at this, he does say, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my mm-hmm. life and the beginning of mm-hmm. my strength.
Yes.
As the first one, okay. The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power
mm-hmm.
is what God says. The first one that breaks the womb is mm-hmm. what?
Given.
Consecrated and dedicated yeah. mm-hmm. only to God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But he says, also says, well, you were unstable as water because of this you did.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this thing mm-hmm. that you did makes you unstable. Well, let's think about this. Does this take away from the blessing that God blessed him with as being the might in the beginning of his strength?
He didn't take away the blessing, I don't think. But he did want it to correct his behavior.
Yes. And do we see anything in the word where Reuben ever repented of that?
I didn't find anything.
Like what you said, that he just kind of went and did his own, you know, yeah. do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, because if you notice, he was not put in charge of the whole tribal thing. It went down the line to the fourth son.
Concerning Reuben, he wasn't given that authority.
No, he was not.
Who did they get a blessing?
Was that Jackie?
When Jacob blessed his sons, Reuben didn't get a blessing.
This is 49 is where that he started, but he was letting them know why they wasn't in line for what the blessing was for. You know, because remember now, the second son is the one that got the blessing, but in Reuben's case, or in Jacob's son's case, it went all the way down to the fourth son.
Mm. What do you mean by went all the way down to the fourth son?
Okay.
Read what you read. Okay.
Reuben, okay, here's what it says in chapter 49, verse 3.
Okay.
Reuben, you are my firstborn.
Right.
My might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you shall not excel. He told him he will not excel.
Okay. You were my strength, but because you did this, you will not. And it's got to be because he didn't repent.
Yeah.
Some way that we need to say that out, because
he had no character. He had all the strength and all that, but he had no character.
Yeah. So just because you're the first one doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the blessing. Mm-hmm. It depends on how, is that right? It depends on how you, many times God skipped the firstborn and went to the second.
Yeah,
he did. Remember when?
It's all about your character. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When they had kept, when they wanted Benjamin, Joseph wanted Benjamin to
yes.
come to Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and Jacob didn't want to send Benjamin because mm-hmm. he lost Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when Reuben said that he would put his life, his child's life.
Okay.
And And Judah said, I will give my life if you let him come with me. You can have my life. Mm-hmm. Where Reuben wanted to sacrifice his
somebody
child's
else.
Life.
Yeah.
So that's why Judah was able to receive the blessings he received, because he repented. Mm-hmm. He repented, and Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wait. I'm coming to you. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it appears there from that Reuben still was willing to
sacrifice somebody else.
His son's life.
His own son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like almost he didn't really value his heritage.
Well, that would go back to Esau with the food.
Mm-hmm.
Because Esau felt, he said he was hungry. Mm-hmm. He said, and what does a blessing mean when you're hungry?
Yeah.
And then when he went out and sold the birthright,
he despised his inheritance.
Yeah, and he was the firstborn. But God had already said the second one will always be the one
in that particular case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And but with Judah, it looks like it gives the appearance that Reuben was going to step up and do something
grand.
Mm-hmm. I'll give my first child if I don't bring it back.
Oh, look at me.
But with Judah, he said, no, I'll give myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which Jesus came from the life of
Judah.
But you
said the right word, the appearance.
Mm-hmm.
He gave the appearance that he would do that. That he would sacrifice himself, but let me change it. Let me give it my child, because he's more in line. And his daddy said, nah, that ain't going to
happen. He did the same thing that Abraham did. He was willing to give his son as a sacrifice for his other person.
No, Reuben was.
Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
But Judah was going to give himself.
Give himself.
Mm-hmm. No, Reuben was going to give it. Yeah, Judah was going to give himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where was that scripture reference where you broke down how from Reuben, it passed from Reuben to what? What was that scripture reference you gave? You named. Did they give a scripture reference on that? And I see you, Miss Dolores.
Say that one more time. Sorry.
You gave a scripture reference that it passed from Reuben to this one, to this one, to
okay.
this one.
Okay. Genesis 49 is where it all started.
Uh-huh.
You said something about the
fourth. And started at verse 3.
Right.
And then it goes down, and he named every last one of them of what they're going to do. See, Simeon and Levi are brethren.
Yes, yes. I thought you were speaking. Maybe I misunderstood. I thought you were speaking in reference to Reuben, that there was someone in his line that's going to get
his sons.
Yes.
And that they came from the tribe. And this is historians saying this.
Okay.
The four sons.
Okay.
And I have to find the scripture verse.
That's okay. You look for that. We'll come back to it. I have another thought to share. Mr. Lewis had a... Do you have another thought to share on that, Jackie?
No, I just have a question.
Okay. You have a question. Okay.
Okay. Even in our life, if we have our children, we know which one can do what. So if you have a child then, and you find out that he's not going to do it, and you take that portion and give it to him, then it's like throwing it away, because he's unstable in every ways that he have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what father was trying to tell him, you cannot fight that battle, because you're not fit for that. So because why? You're unstable. You'll give it away. And in those days, they have to fight.
Well, there's a lot of things to consider here, too. And look how they even though they were the chosen people of God, chosen by God, and these tribes, and Jacob was chosen by God, still, you know, when you're talking about the mandrake, they picked up the customs of the world around them.
Yes,
instead of waiting for God to, you know, they believed that this mandrake was a sign. So, you know, they mixed in stuff of the world instead of following God with all their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the other very blessed part of this, is that the firstborn, there is a,
There is a higher degree of responsibility on the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
There is, because, you know, just in the Jewish mindset, they carry on the family, generation, carry on the business, carry on this. And also, all that from a spiritual point of view, now this is going to sound rough initially, but it's going to get better, okay? All the sins of the father are passed down from generation to generation. And the firstborn has to carry.
Yes.
Now it's going to get better, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Has to carry the blunt of all of those. That's why there's a greater grace on the firstborn. The
mm-hmm.
firstborn have a greater grace from God on their life, because, and this is just in the natural. I'm going to speak to you naturally, I'm going to speak to you spiritually. Sometimes the firstborn in a family, because their sins are passed down from generation to generation,
mm-hmm.
the firstborn spiritually has that spiritual burden on them. Sometimes the firstborn in a family has to actually come to the rescue and help others that get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you've
yes.
seen that. Okay, maybe you've seen that
in
the natural. Maybe
mm-hmm.
you've seen that in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news about that, and I'm going to get to you, Jack, Carolyn. The good news about that is that's what Christ did for us.
Yes.
He's the firstborn of God. Now, all mm-hmm. that of
yes.
the firstborn was laid on him. You see that?
Uh-huh.
So there's no longer that condemnation or that guilt, because look at everything. That's why he had to suffer what he suffered. He suffered the transgression of every generation from every generation. All that was laid on him, the firstborn of God.
Yes.
That's good news.
Yes.
That's good news, especially if you're the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thank God I was the secondborn, but if you're the firstborn,
you have to carry the tradition of the father from down.
Yes.
And then you have to have the grace.
The grace of God,
the
Father. Grace. Yes.
And then you have to have the word that the Father gives you to travel with on. So you put in a place where you just a box that in a box, but then some step out of the box. Some go to a length and say, I don't want it. I don't want this no more. I don't want this.
Yeah.
I just want to be out.
Yeah.
You know, so it is then, so it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But thank God in Christ Jesus, all that was laid
yeah,
on the firstborn. He's
first
the one that got laid on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
In Genesis 46, verse 9, is where you found Reuben's sons. And it goes from there where you find the second generation. I guess that's what you, a third generation.
Genesis 49.
Well, from Jacob to Reuben.
It was one generation.
And then Reuben's sons. And it's in Genesis 46. That's
okay.
where all the... That's where they're at.
Genesis 46. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good, Carolyn.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
So we can learn, even though we're the firstborn and chosen by God, our character is what counts, right?
Yeah.
Our character, if we don't walk up right with God, even though God... All the blessings of God are meant for us in Christ Jesus. If we can forfeit those blessings by our character. Is that right? Is that what, anything else we can learn? Anything else that we can learn from this? But thank God for Christ, we can return to Him and repent. And He's the firstborn that all that was laid on Him. Anything else that we missed concerning Reuben? Okay.
Okay, I got.
Oh no, Nancy's got a handout.
I got a handout.
She's got a handout.
And I was looking at what Carolyn had. I'm just going.
That was an interesting point that everyone brought out. But interesting point, Mr. Loris brought out too, is that you know you see in your children certain things. Certain things, traits and gifts and things in you. And obviously, Jacob saw that in Reuben. He saw that Reuben was unstable. He saw that he was unstable.
You might have something like that because of death.
Well, the thing, when you sleep with your daddies, talk about that. That is a sin itself.
Yes.
Believe it or not, David's son Emma did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But don't we all want to be our father's example? Mm-hmm. But what about who God make us into? Mm-hmm. What about that part? God make us to be our own self. He give us everything in us. So we want to follow our father's footsteps. But is it right? You have your children, and your child just want to be like you. Is it right when sometime when she step out of the box and said, Ma used to do it this way, but I believe this way is more better? Is it wrong?
Not necessarily. If it doesn't. Go ahead, Jackie. If she's gonna answer your question.
The ham. Somebody told me the story about the ham. And they cut the ham.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And put it in the pan.
Yeah.
Because
Grandma did it.
Because she did it. And the pastor talked about how good it was or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter's the one that cooked it and said, well, she learned of it from her mom. And then they questioned about that she cut off the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother says, well, I don't know why the daughter did that. But I did it because my pan was only this big. And it goes with the scripture of the traditions.
Yeah.
Following the traditions, mm-hmm. but they're of no effect.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just get a big enough pan.
Yeah.
And that's like Mr. Lawrence said. Whoever see the movie, Tradition.
You mean Fiddle on the Roof?
Fiddle on the Roof. Love that movie.
Wow.
I love that movie because the man has his daughter. And the daughter wants to step out and marry to another girl. And he wants to throw the daughter out the house, but the mother wouldn't allow him to throw the daughter out the house. So heavy drink, he drink, he jump and dance and say, tradition. tradition. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. But let's see one thing tonight.
I just have one really quick thought that the whole time Carolyn was speaking from one point on that I was thinking about even up to today is thinking about all what Carolyn said and brought forth spiritually is we have to take care of whether good and especially bad. Because I was thinking about today, what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
She brought up about the one sister bribing the other sister for that thingy. Think about what's going on today with still affairs outside of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Think about abortion. Think about all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bad seed still producing after its own kind. And within your generation, you have got to take care of that thing. And telling what we sang today was, no, you will not tread on this generation with that filthy, wicked, evil seed or speaking the good. That's what my mind ran through the whole time Carolyn was bringing that up, was you have to steal the seed producing after its own kind.
And you have to
open the door because, again, even David fell into it. This one fell into it. That one fell into it because somebody opens the door. You have to close that door in your generation.
Right, and you close that through action, not just by saying.
Correct,
you
close
it by action. You say, but you also close it by action.
Yes.
It has to stop with you. Okay, here's an example.
That's what I was saying. You have to do it with both.
Yes, here's an example. And my husband won't mind me using this as an example. I'm sure he wouldn't. But his father and his mother went through a divorce, and so did his youngest brother. And Dean's words were, it's not an option. Not in our family. It's not an option. But it had to be done by action. So you have to stop it by your action.
Yes, you have to stop.
And it's the same thing through any other thing that's followed from generation to generation.
Yes.
You stop it by your action.
Yes. Yes.
You don't act on the thing.
No.
You don't do the thing and you stop it.
Yes.
And
amen.
It comes out of your mouth.
Yes.
Watch the words that come out.
Well,
see, that's what I'm saying, that it is both because
it is both.
As a declaration for himself,
right?
That whatever those words were that he said, and then he's acting on what he said. That's why I said it's both.
It is both.
Because you've got to put it in here, to put it in here, and you meditate on that, and then you act on that.
Right. But the most, the thing is that you have
the
to, you have to
action.
Do it.
You have to do it.
One person can't stop. Before Nancy stopped, Jackie said something that was prevalent.
Okay.
When Rachel, when Jacob was bringing them out of Laban's household, Rachel took the God and sat on it and told him she couldn't get up because her monthly was on. But she had stole the God. Now, Leah didn't do that. And that was another problem right there. She lied to her husband. She lied to her daddy. Nobody knew that she had that God.
Talking about Jacob's.
And again, that goes to today. People trying to fix spiritual things with flesh. It will not work. It never has worked. It never will work because God never loses a battle. God's greatest battle is flesh.
Yes.
He said that was the last thing that we would fight with forever. That will not go away until we're gone. We will always fight Amalekite. You will always fight with your own flesh. You can't fix flesh. You can't fix spiritual. And even Rachel tried to fix a spiritual matter with flesh. And it won't work. It never will work.
It's a whole lot.
She thought, and she obviously she didn't realize that she didn't, that she thought that God was going to be what was going to bless her, and not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
Amen.
Trying to fix it her own self, and you cannot fix it yourself. You have to have God.
Amen.
You have to have God.
I think you're ready, ma'am.
I hope I am.
That one got to be more than what we thought it was, didn't it?
No, it was. This is wonderful.
It is good.
It is good.
It's all good.
I saw a lot of things. It can be long. It can be short. You're going to get something out of something. I hope you get something out of this. I have to stand up to do this. At first, when I started the study, I said, yes, there was hardly anything on each card.
Okay, on Ishkar.
There was hardly anything on him. We say Ishkar, but it's Ishkar. And I was saying, oh, I'm going to wake up. I had 5 seconds maybe to talk, but guess what? The longer it took to do it, the more the Lord started showing me. So, I'm going to start off with the basics. All right? He was the fifth son born to Jacob and Leah. He was born in Padan Aram in Syria, and he lived to 122 years old. Wow. He had 4 sons, Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. I hope I said those things right. He had 11 brothers and 1 sister. Okay. He's mentioned 41 times in the Bible. One of them is Deuteronomy 27:12. Out of the tribes to bless the people after coming over to the Jordan. Okay, wait a minute. Well, anyway, it mentions Ishkar's, that mentioned Ishkar's. Forget that. Wipe that out because that's too soon.
That's fine.
I'm going to go into now about the meaning of his name. There's several things that came up when I got to looking him up. Okay? One of it, man of hire. Reference to Leah hiring of Jacob's. For Jacob's sexual favors with the things, the mandrakes, which is the love plant. Okay, so when you said that, I said, that was Ishkar. came out of that. Ishkar came out of that. Okay, that was one of them. And then there's the one that he is a reward in reference to the opinion that the birth is a reward for her giving her handmaid to Ziplah. Is that what the handmaid? You got, I don't know how you said it anyway, which was Jacob's concubine. So I was like, man, that kind of, now I know where Ishkar came from. From a bribe.
Wow. Which
paper
are we on?
Ishkar.
Ishkar.
Now, there's some other things in there. I know that's something to take in. It gets better. When you said that, and I just said that, and I'm going, Lord, this is going to be good. There's a lot to Ishkar that you have to dig. Okay. I told you not a minute, man a hire. Or there is a reward. Okay. There's a third in the Jewish scholars. It might derive from Ish Sokar, meaning man of Sokar, S-O-K-A-R. In reference to the tribes, perhaps originally worshiping Sokar, an Egyptian deity. Now, I don't go for that one, because I'm going to show you in a few minutes or seconds or whatever what the Lord has showed me. Okay. Now, a number of scholars think that the tribe of Ishkar actually originated as a Shekelesh, S-H-E-K-E-L-E-S-H, group of sea people.
Sea people.
And this will be relevant in a later on.
Yeah.
Okay. Can be, it's, then you can decompose it as men of Shekel in Hebrew. A meaning of synonymous with men of hire. Huh. Well, the sea people were people that would go in the sea and merchants. You know, they go places, okay? So just kind of keep that in there. We did the four sons. They remained there until the Exodus. That's good, that's good. Now, the Talmud argues that Ishkar's description in the blessing of Jacob is a strong ass lying down between two burdens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, thank you. And saw that settled life was good, and the land was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant and to tribute. Is a reference to the religious scholarship of the tribe of Ishkar. Through scholars feel it's more simply a literal interpretation of his name. Well, I believe that there's a lot more to Ishkar's name than what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ishkar. I have to remember that. Ishkar. There was one part where he is found that basically he just hung out with his brother and lived off his brother. I don't know if you've ever read that. And that was
that's Zebulun.
Thank you.
That's what I was gonna say. If I was today, that would have really
Zebulun.
Lined up.
Yeah, and that's what you know.
Because it goes with Ishkar.
Mm-hmm. And he, you know, but you know, that's okay. They can have that thought. But what I saw, and I'm going to have to, okay, just say it, Nancy.
Do you have a scripture reference of where it says he lived off his brother or lived off someone else?
Can
I give you a scripture reference on that, Nancy?
Not in this.
Okay. That just kind of reminds me spiritually of some believers who live
but,
off
oh,
of
you
the
know that the one,
people,
the one that, a man of understanding. You know where it talks about he went to, why didn't I write that down?
Go ahead and I'll look for it. Go ahead with yours and
they
I'll look for it.
In land, we are like each other in the land.
Yeah.
If you look at the map.
what you're looking for,
okay.
Nancy, where you probably discern the times and the seasons.
Thank you. Yeah, and I thought I had that wrote down.
We'll get it. We'll get
okay.
that. We can pull that up. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm thinking, okay, they're calling him. Oh, he's just lived off his brother.
Okay.
All he did was do this. And so when I was reading it, I came across some of the scriptures about the 41 times and the and okay. If he was just that, and they talk like he didn't go to war. He wasn't a man of war and all this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you're saying he see people. But he was a man that knew the times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he knew how to seek God
mm-hmm.
for what he did. Okay.
Yes.
His descendants, Deuteronomy 27:12, was one of the tribes to bless the people after coming over the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that he was a very wise man, but I'm looking at him as the priest, as a priest. He might not have come from, Levi, that's fine. I know Levi's, but he's mentioned with Levi about the blessing when they crossed over the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
The Issachar's people are. So I'm thinking, and this is why I think the Lord showed me, that he lived on the border. The two lands, if you look at your map, they're Zebulun and Issachar.
Mm-hmm.
Their two lands meet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lord, you want me to go to that? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm looking that he helped his brother by showing him the Word of God. And the seed people are the people that went out and would know the times.
Ah.
And they would know how the different countries were living. Okay, so they could come back, give wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and then give wisdom to his brother when it came to warfare, trading, and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, it could be the sea people. And because the Lord showed me that this morning, I said, oh, good,
okay.
something else. And in Judges 5:15. We're going to rebuke this thing about the war part now. It says they were prince of Issachar's were with Deborah.
Ah.
That is Judges 5:15 when they went to war.
Mm-hmm.
They were there. So some of this, you know, I was like, see that. I don't know where you get this stuff from. If you look at it, if you look in the scripture, in Chronicles 1, and I might have messed that up, 7:1 or something, anyway. They were 1 Chronicles 7:1. There you go, Nancy. Valiant men. I had to think.
Valiant.
Of might. Of might. So, no. Issachar is not weak.
No.
He didn't live off his brother. If they're going out there trading, they're bringing it back. But they would seek his wisdom and his family's wisdom. But they would seek his wisdom because he studied the Word. He was the priest of his people.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother, Zebulun. The rest of them probably just did their thing. So really he was wise. I think he was wise. And this is why. And there's probably a lot more I could say, but the Lord said, get to this one now because I'm ready for this one. I know. This is the clincher that really the Lord showed me. And I thank God for Kenneth Copeland. Look at Issachar's name.
Look at his name, okay.
Isaac.
Ah.
You see Isaac?
Uh-huh.
Then you see the H-A-R.
Wow.
When God changed his name, he added the H in his name.
Mm-hmm.
I know Tammy, I think she knows this.
From Abram to Abraham. Mm-hmm.
Right. The H is very specific when you add it to somebody's name.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you are blessed by God. You become a part of God. Mm-hmm. It's hey, H-E-I, is used to represent the name of God. He was God's representative. Just like Abraham was. He had favor. And the name is God is an abbreviation for Hashem, which means the name, and in the way of saying God without saying the name. Mm. I think Miss Kathy or somebody was talking about how the, I heard that the priests used to go, before they would write the name in the book, they'd go and take a bath and get all cleaned up and anointed. Yeah, then they'd write the name. Then they'd go back and clean up again. Every time they had to stop when they had to write the name of God. I heard that somewhere anyway. But H means you belong to God. The A means oneness, unity. Hey, grace. It is grace. So when I started the study, it looked like, man, they didn't think much of him. He's just supposed to be laid back, not, you know, just living off his brother. Mm-hmm. And I come to see that, no. He took Isaac's name, the promise, and his mother put the H in there, knowing she dedicated him to God. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't because, you know, she did something wrong. She dedicated him to God by putting that H in there. So therefore you have Issachar. That's why you have the tablets. The you know, I wondered, I said, why I have to walk over here. I said, why a scroll, Lord? Why a scroll? You know, and so nothing was pointing to why a scroll until I got a little bit deeper into it. And it's because he's a learned man. And he reads the Word of God. The scroll is the, you know, yeah. So anyway, that was, I think the man of understanding, I think, did I give you that one? Mm-hmm. That was, I gave you a valiant man, and then the man of understanding was 1 Chronicles 1, 12 through 32 or something like that. But anyway, but when I saw the H, and I learned that from Kenneth Copeland, right? I had studied this and I hadn't seen all that. And then I got to looking at his name and I said, oh, that's Isaac.
Wow.
Why did we say Issachar? Why did we say Isaacar? You know, why we say Issachar, but it's Issachar. Well, anyway, I have to look at it again. Issachar. And I said, Lord, only you could take something where they thought he wasn't much, mm-hmm. but he was all that.
Amen.
Anyway, any questions? I don't know if I have answers.
That's
why I brought the map, so you could see the little piece of land right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got finished. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
thank you, Lord.
I'm going to interject with right where what you said that I think may bring even more understanding.
When they had the blessing, so I've always forgot about that, the blessing, I said, now, Lord, explain that to me, because, I mean, you know, the lying between the
two burdens.
Mm-hmm. Well, Zebulun and Issachar are on the same board. I mean, right there in the middle of everything. Okay. They're lying in between all this stuff, all the other people, Manasseh mm-hmm. and all that. But he is there so he can minister to. Lord, I get excited sometimes. I get tongue-tied, and then I forget where my thought's going. But I see it as he's Miss Kathy, read the thing to me.
Read the blessing.
Read the blessing to me.
Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between two burdens.
He
saw that a resting place was good.
Okay.
Before he settled.
He settled in the middle of the land. That's what I was talking about.
And the land was pleasant.
And it was pleasant. It was good. And the two burdens. A donkey was put out with the sheep to help protect the sheep from the wolves.
Wow. Wow. A donkey.
Donkeys were put out. I read that and I went, I said, the donkey, they're very territorial.
Ooh.
So if you think about him laying between two, look at that, that's protection.
Yes.
That's protection. That's more favor.
The donkey was what?
The donkey would be put out in the pasture and stuff to help protect the sheep. Mm-hmm. They're very territorial animals. They would not let anything get to into their prime. So he's supposed to be between two donkeys.
Wow.
So the Lord was very territorial. I mean, his blessing was really awesome. You know, everybody goes, why do you want to lay down between two asses or two donkeys or whatever, mm-hmm. how they put it. Some folks say donkey, some say, and the burden, yeah.
Lay down between two burdens.
Well, they were talking about donkeys. Donkey, asses at one time. I've read that someplace. I have to go back and find it.
Then Jesus came in on a donkey.
But very territorial and very protective of who they have to take care of. Don't tell me that he was a whip. You got to read it.
Kathy, I'm going to add on here because am Zebulun.
Yeah.
And, and then I'll see later. I mean, this next week I'll keep looking over my notes because I have
good.
A lot.
I got...
My studies didn't have Issachar as a feeding off of Zebulun. It's a little bit different perception. It's similar, but it's a little bit, it's on the positive side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That in Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. They were very close, just like Manasseh and what's his name
Ephraim.
Off of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay? So, because then verse 18 in the Amplified, and it says, and Zebulun, because it just finished saying the blessings of Manasseh and Ephraim of Joseph, and then it's very positive because it says, and then of Zebulun.
Mm-hmm.
And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your interests abroad, and you, Issachar, in your tents at home. Okay, so see, my study said that Issachar was not wimpish, but that those two work hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just what we even said after Carolyn's message, is that your words and your actions.
Mm-hmm.
It was the study of the word, and you can't pay SCNG with love.
Mm-hmm.
It took the ministry, and then it says that Zebulun shared with his brother so that he could study.
Mm.
So that he could be free to study.
Mm-hmm. Is that what he said?
That's my study in Jewish.
Mine says Zebulun's financial support in return for a share in the spiritual reward he gains.
Yes, so it's really a positive thing.
So it's like a priest thing, like
okay.
I said.
So then, verses 18 and 19, and of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your interests abroad, and you, Issachar, in your tents at home. It puts them together.
Mm-hmm. I see.
They shall, that's just verse 18.
You see people.
That's just verse 18. It's them two working together.
Uh-huh.
That's just verse 18. They're together. You are blessed in your efforts abroad, and Issachar, you are blessed in your tents at home, because you both love each other, and Zebulun was excited to go out. He's the business anointing. I don't want to go too much into mine, but it just very much goes along with Nancy, because they're the two brothers. They loved one another. Zebulun was happy.
Mm.
to go out into the seas and to be the to support the ministry.
Wow.
Because Issachar is the ministry. Then look in 19.
I still think his sons could have been the sea people.
Oh, yeah, it goes on and says that. But, okay. Then, in look in verse 19, it's not done with Zebulun and Issachar. They're together. They shall call. Who's they? They is Zebulun and Issachar. They shall call the people unto Mount Carmel.
Wow.
There, they, again, Issachar and Zebulun, they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness.
Wow.
For they shall suck the abundance of the seas.
Wow.
Belong to the people of God, and the treasures hid in the sand. Zebulun and Issachar work together.
Wow.
In the word, in studying of the word, and in business to support so they can study the word. It goes into the New Testament to bless those that have brought you the word.
Amen.
Because they needed to study. And I'm gonna look this one more thing and then
just share with that what you just said?
Yeah.
When she said, Miss Kathy, I had to remind you, Issachar is a strong ass laying down between two burdens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's laying down between Zebulun and his land. Okay.
He's laying
those
down.
Those are the two burdens.
Okay.
The burden of those that land, those two countries,
uh-huh,
are on Issachar. But Carmen just said he also shared by his brother Zebulun. I believe that's the two burdens.
Oh.
And he's the ass, the donkey ass,
uh-huh,
because he's very protective, very territorial.
Wow.
So he's a, and then Zebulun gave him support.
Uh-huh.
So the two of them, I think, were, like Carmen was talking, they were a team.
Yeah, they are a team. And see, and it looks like they're just inland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can Zebulun be of the water and they're in land? No, there is a strip in between them that lays there. That's why they're even side by side.
Because
they are brothers that love one another.
Uh-huh.
They work together.
Wow.
One's financial, one's gospel, but they come, but they're together because there is a strip between them that is water. And that's where Zebulun got onto the boats to go out through that water strip that took them out to the ocean.
Wow.
So see, I'm really, really getting into my... I'm going to read these two things and then let it go.
No, go ahead.
Because, no, I don't... You look at all these notes I have. I didn't get to finish looking through them. Okay.
I know that feeling.
All right. There is evidence of many ancient rabbis and modern-day scholars used to indicate the cooperative relationship between these two tribes.
Mm.
They were very cooperative with one another. They are tribes of fierce warriors. So see, that beats what Nancy did. No, they were both fierce warriors.
Exactly.
Both of these. They obtained wealth from their proximity to the sea, from where they were at, and to the sea, and their sea was based on trade. Okay. Their wealth, Zebulun's wealth, was shared with Issachar, which enables the men of this tribe to pursue their studies into the law and the matters of God.
Mm.
So Zebulun was very happy to do it. Again, Issachar was not weak. They were studying the word. These two tribes would soon come together for battle. They both came together. I have to look up the scriptures, and I'll do that the day that I get all of my finished reading and studying this out. Because I did study it, and I was ready for a time, and then I kind of lost it when we had time.
That's okay.
The two tribes came together for battles against the heavy odds in Canaan. So they did come. So, yes, it.
I love that
about Issachar and Zebulun.
I believe they traveled with Zebulun.
Yeah, well, and
because
they
gained their wisdom of what he's supposed to do when it came to trade.
Yeah, and I also
financial advisor.
And I do see too that because Issachar was blessed to know the times and the season, as you
he
said,
had to get out
I do believe that there were times, just like when Jesus said to Peter, "Go back out," but this time. Go here. I believe, like what you were indicating and showing, that there were times that Issachar said, "Brother, I believe that if you'll go now, and you'll go take your boat this way this time,
exactly
you'll meet this merchant and you'll meet that merchant, and it'll be well for both of you." I just really just saw that.
Wow.
It was a combined effort.
Yeah, because if you look too. Because
everybody got the blessing.
Yeah, because if you look too, even, and I'll show it again when I have my time.
Because he had that H in his name.
When you look at the encampments of the tribes, Zebulun and Issachar are right there with Judah.
Right.
They're together. Mm-hmm. Those probably were the closest of the brothers within the tribe. I'm just saying.
Say that again now.
Zebulun, Issachar, and Judah.
Encampment.
In the encampment, they are together. And I love that Judah is with Issachar and Zebulun. Mm-hmm. The business, the one that brings the word, the business, and the praisers.
Because
it takes the praisers, and it takes the word. And it takes finance.
Yes, it does.
And they're together.
So much hidden.
They're
in the
together.
Word of God.
So much together.
Yeah, so much hidden there. You're right.
And if we hadn't have done the study, we wouldn't have been looking at all that.
Yeah.
You know, we just say, okay.
I have to find a good one because see how blurry that is.
Is it Jane?
See how blurry
is that her name, Jane?
Jane, that's her name.
You know what?
She complained. She. Said the name Issachar. I think it was over the young man that was with Miss Staples that day. I heard her say the name Issachar, and it just
I might have to do it myself.
The blessing of Issachar or something that in it.
Just
I'm gonna have to look him up.
Would be a little bit
and I didn't get around to do it. So when you said that, I said I'll take Issachar. But it was a prophecy that she was giving him that mentioned that name.
Okay.
I think I've got it recorded, but I'm not sure.
And Tanya, we can, if you want to wait on yours, or do you want to go forward with yours? But before we do that, somebody that can search the scriptures real quick, find out where that scripture says that Issachar discerned the times. So we can put that in right now with Issachar. But that is such a blessing that these people were jealous of one another.
Nope.
They worked together. See, that's where God
commands
the
blessing.
And they fought together. See, that's where God commands the blessing. And while someone's looking that up, the other scripture reference, if you didn't get it, that Nancy was giving, Moses also speaks of the blessing of the 12 tribes of Israel. If you didn't get that, Mr. Lewis, that Moses blesses Israel in Deuteronomy 33. So you're going to find some more about your tribe there, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's where I was reading from.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
I could listen to that some more. That is beautiful how the both of them work together. So see, and for the benefit of this, because this is audio.
Well, Issachar was brought in with Reuben here.
Yes, it all works together. Yes. So for those that are listening by audio, what we had, we received a banner from our friends, Mike and Jane Nazarite in Israel. And on this banner, there is a picture that represents every tribe. Now, Reuben is represented by the mandrake. We talked about Reuben today. And Issachar, the scrolls, the word of God. He devoted himself to ministry. This is beautiful.
The word
beautiful,
of God,
beautiful.
Yes.
And there you see Zebulun right beside him. And Zebulun's represented by the sea, the ships. That is just a beautiful picture.
Business.
To me, of the business, yes.
Business
the business
anointing.
Working to support the ministry. And isn't that a picture of America? That devil don't tread on us, as we heard today through that song, and Satan choking your own blood, in the blood of Jesus, Satan choking the blood of Jesus dripping down from the cross, that's the prophetic words of that song. And my point in saying that is that America gives to the ministry to shedding the gospel of Jesus Christ, and, you know, this thing that's come against us as a nation right now, to hurt our businesses.
Yeah.
To hurt prosperity and hurt our businesses. And that quote I was just saying about
what's the scripture?
Satan, don't tread on us. That was a song we listened to today. What was the name of the song? Don't tread on me.
Yeah, don't tread
on
me.
Who is the author of that song?
It's the Kingdom.
We the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. So I wanted to give credit to that while we were doing it. Okay. Was someone able to find that scripture about this apostle? That's okay. Just keep on whenever you can find it.
I remember it. But I don't know why I didn't write it down.
I can find my book too. But he was given, Issachar was given to know the times and the seasons and the discernment to know the times and seasons of God. And I think that's great how that works together. And Nancy tied that in because he was a seafarer. And didn't Jesus say, you discern the sea and you say, in the morning, if the sky is red, sailors take warning. At night, if the sky is red, that sailor's delight is an old saying. Now, Jesus didn't say that. That's just an old saying. But Jesus said, you know how discern the sea. You say in the morning, if the sky is red, it's going to be foul weather. You say at night, if it's red, it's going to be smooth sailing. So that's connected with the sea. Well, God connects everything in the natural with the...
Yes.
He uses the natural to teach us, doesn't he?
Yes.
Sure he does. Yes. Sure he does.
Check out 1 Chronicles 12:32.
First Chronicles 12:22.
Oh, and Kathy, while I had this thought, you know what? This just went because I kept thinking the 12 tribes were supposed to and should work together.
Yes.
All right, and what does 12 represent?
What does it mean?
The government. The 12 tribes should work together because it is the government of God.
That's correct. Yeah. And that is the scripture I'm looking for. That's right. Okay, that is the scripture I'm looking for. If you want to jot that down, Issachar. It's 1 Chronicles 12:32. So let's read that. From the sons of Issachar, those having understanding of times and what Israel should do.
Mm-hmm.
200 of their captains with all their brothers at their command.
Mm-hmm.
And Zebulun, this is on that. Zebulun, 50,000 seasoned troops equipped for battle
mm-hmm.
with all the weapons of war to help Dan with singleness of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So he helps everybody.
From Zebulun, those going out to war, equipped for battle with all the weapons of war to help David with an undivided heart, 50,000.
Wow.
They learned that by from each other.
I'm going to look at scripture and
that's
I'm going to see if when it has Zebulun and when it has Issachar, how many times that they're together in scripture.
Let me tell you this one. Joshua 17:10.
Mm-hmm.
The land to the south was Ephraim's. And that to the north was Manasseh. And the sea was the boundary. On the north, Asher was reached. And on the east, Issachar.
Issachar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. That is so beautiful.
That just verifies the thing about the sea.
But on their boundary was water, and it was a way for Zebulun to get out into
on the east. Not the north, on the east.
Connected by the water. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next week, we'll hold off, Tammy. Next week, we do Issachar. Zebulun. And then we do Dan.
I didn't tell you a story when I told you it would probably be long.
That is just beautiful. And so our desire is to learn from these, blessings. And all the word of God is given for reproof and correction to learn from that. And what a beautiful lesson we learned from Issachar and Zebulun.
Yeah.
That they worked together. One wasn't jealous of the other.
Right.
And they worked together for the common good of the nation. For the common good of the nation. So what a beautiful lesson.
So if Issachar would bless the businesses with knowing what to do, when to do, how to do as they hear from God. See, then the businesses can bless back to Issachar.
Lord.
See how it works?
Yes, I do. Mm.
Yes, I do.
They're actually, Issachar is actually helping the businesses to fight the enemy that would keep them in, that would keep them from being able to make business and grow and have funds.
Mm-hmm. Issachar had the blessing in him.
Wow.
I'm going to end this with the blessing. I'm going to end this with the blessing.
Wow.
Amen. The Lord bless you. May Yahweh, he who exists, kneel before you presenting gifts. And keep you. May Yahweh, he who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorns protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May he protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, he who exists, illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, bringing continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose, and be gracious to you. May Yahweh, he who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. May Yahweh, he who exists, lift up and carry his wholeness of being toward you, bringing everything that he is to your aid, supporting you with his entire being, and give you peace. May Yahweh, he who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete, so that you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May he give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord in Jesus' name. Yes. And this is the blessing that was pronounced that Moses told Aaron, you say this over the people of God, Israel. Numbers 6:24. Thank you, folks, for this beautiful lesson day. Y'all did wonderful. Thank you so much.